Good morning, everyone. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. But as you know, for the last couple of days, it's been rainy, rainy, rainy. I think we got about 95 mil here where we live. So it's been a great rainfall event. But the most important thing, it's been raining in some of the driest places in Australia. People who have been experiencing years of drought have now had a lot of rain, and it's going to soak back in. And this has raised spirits, and it's sustained life. And thousands of people are just excited as they go back to work on the land that they actually have some water, some rain to work with. So praise the Lord. We need to be thankful for that and the rain that we've had. So today, I want to sharpen our focus on a positive revolution. Remember, we started that a little while back. But today, I want to take a look at a very familiar person that's just going to help us get our focus on that positive revolution. But before we do that, let's go back to where we started. Remember this quote, "Never be in a hurry. Do everything quietly and in a calm spirit. Do not lose your inner peace for anything whatsoever, even if your whole world seems upset." And that's by St. Francis de Sales. I believe it's a wonderful goal, for the year and even for the rest of our lives. So how are you going with it? Well, again, if you're like me, you've had some wins and you have some losses. Well, hopefully our wins will become much more than our losses. But today we're going to take a look at a man who knew how to win and he knew how to lose. But he knew how to maintain a calm, grateful attitude regardless of what come his way. So go with me over to the book of Philippians. First, let me ask you a question. How would you handle being locked up in a home and not allowed to get out for anything? Yeah, I know, that's kind of where a lot of us have been living for the last couple of years. But let's look at his scene just a little bit closer. He didn't have a TV. He didn't have a radio. He didn't have the internet. He didn't have the telephone. He couldn't connect with family. There was nothing that he could do other than talk to the guards around him and some of his friends that was bringing stuff in. So how would you be responding to that? Well, what would you do during 2 years of total lockdown with no connection? Well, the Apostle Paul chose to write to the churches that he had started. He wrote to the Ephesians, and he wrote to the Colossians and to Philemon. And all of those he wrote to address a specific need. But he also wrote to the church at Philippi with a much different attitude. And this book was one of gratitude and encouragement. You see, the people at Philippi had given to support Paul's needs throughout a large part of his ministry. So they did it right. So the Apostle Paul wanted to brag on them and thank them for what they did. So go with me over to Philippians chapter 4 and let's see if we can find something in this text that would help us maintain a peaceful and calm spirit in our life. But first, let's pray. Father, I thank you for the day that you've allowed us to have this day. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for your word and help us, Lord, to learn some things from the Apostle Paul that can help us in our daily lives. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Now, go with me to Philippians chapter 4, verse number 1. Paul writes, "Therefore, my beloved and longed-for brethren, my joy and crown, So stand fast in the Lord, beloved. It's clear that the Apostle Paul loved this group of people. As he says, my beloved, my longed for brethren, my joy and crown. This group of people, this church, they were special to him. But he also used the word therefore. And when we see that, we need to find out what the therefore is there for. You see, back in chapter 3, the Apostle Paul encouraged the church to follow the example that he and other faithful leaders had set for them. He also warned that there was a lot of people that would come and had full intentions to pervert the teaching and the lifestyle that the Apostle Paul was leading. So he encouraged them to keep their eyes upon him. Then he reminds them of something really important. Philippians 3, verses 20 and 22, let me read. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Paul knew that there is great hope, and we can gain and latch on to that great hope of thinking about the Lord's return in our ultimate restoration back to what God wants us to be. That's something for us to look forward to. So don't forget, the Lord will return one day, and let that motivate what we do. Then it gets to the phrase, therefore. He says, therefore, stand fast in the Lord. And in other words, place your feet upon the rock of Jesus Christ and don't get off. He is coming, so stand firm on him. Good advice, I think. But he has one little thing he wants to deal with. Verse number 2, I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. These ladies were having a disagreement of some kind. And Paul basically says, help these ladies to get over that and get back to focusing on Jesus. I think that's good advice too. Now, let's look at some of them encouraging things that Paul said to the church at Philippi that we can really gain from. Go with me over to verses number 4 and 5. Paul writes, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. We have so much to rejoice about. But to rejoice, you gotta have a grateful attitude for what's going on. Understanding that God knows what he's doing in our lives. So we need to develop an attitude of gratitude and then start rejoicing. Then he says, be reasonable to everyone. Don't be overbearing. Don't be bullheaded. Don't be self-willed, but be reasonable. And why should we do these things? It's because the Lord is at hand. We've got to keep in focus that the Lord is going to return. We need to be living and doing what's right when he gets here. As Paul has already said, the Lord Jesus will return. So in light of that fact, listen, we need to live Christian lives full of grace. Keep that in mind. Lives full of grace. Now go with me to verses number 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So what did he just say? Don't worry about anything. Then pray about everything. And then give thanks in all things. And if we will do these things, don't worry, pray about everything, give thanks in all things, and then and only then will God give us that supernatural peace that is far beyond our understanding. So we know what to do. Don't worry. Take it to the Lord and give praise and gratitude for what's going on. So can you see the tools for maintaining a calm and peaceful spirit? Look, he says, get rid of anxiety. Everybody is so anxious today. Get rid of anxiety. Pursue prayer. Focus on gratitude, and God will give us his peace. So what else could we possibly need to have a quiet and peaceful life? Well, the Apostle Paul had some other things to say. And what he says here, he speaks to what goes on in our mind. One person said, the battle for the Christian life is won or lost in the mind. It is that important. Now listen to what Paul writes in verse number 8. Finally, almost like there's a wrap up here. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So, just so we won't miss this, I want to read a paraphrase from the New Living Translation. Listen closely. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. If we will get our minds right, we can live a calm and peaceful life. If we'll just think for a few moments about the things that Paul wrote, we would realize that we're standing on the edge of a massive cultural shift in our minds, to move away from the way our culture wants us to think, to a way that God wants us to think. It is vastly different to where what the culture wants us to think. Well, let's review what he said one more time. I know we've done that a couple of times, but I want to review it so we'll get our heads around it. He says, think about the things that are true. Think about things that are worthy of honor. Think about the things that are right in the sight of God and things that are morally pure. Things that are of the highest quality and moral standard. And finally, think of things that are worthy of the highest praise. And I honestly believe if we will do that, it will totally transform and revolutionize our lives. But let me say, you don't have to go too far to find one person, the only person who ever lived, who actually exemplified all of these characteristics. And that's our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Listen, as Christians, you and I are, we're the most blessed people in the entire world because we know the example that we're supposed to follow, and we believe passionately that he lived and he is still alive. We believe that, and he is alive and making a difference in our lives. So if we will follow our example, which is Jesus, then we can, regardless of circumstances, live a quiet and peaceful life for the rest of our lives and straight on into eternity. In closing, I believe Paul just gave us the tools to live our best life now and to live that quiet and peaceful life. And most of what he said had to do with the things that go on in our minds. To summarize what Paul said, he suggested that if we maintain a positive focus, mixed with prayer and thanksgiving, with a clear and sharp view of the Lord Jesus Christ, then God will, without question, be with us for the rest of our lives. And he will give us his peace. Let's just do it. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for this encouraging thoughts about how to transform our mind, and in so doing, it transforms our lives. Lord, our world is trying to push us into a mold of negativity and confusion and conflict, and that is not what you want. So let's follow the example set or mentioned by the Apostle Paul, and then we can live with peace and quietness in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.